2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you look there in your Bibles, please. Of course, this is NFL Sunday, but we're not calling it National Football League Sunday. We're calling it New Found Life Sunday, because the emphasis, of course, is always on the Lord and on His Word and on salvation. This morning, the topic of the message is a fanatic fan or a fair weather fan. Which one are you? Are you a fanatic fan for the Lord, or would you be possibly a fair weather fan? So we're going to look at that this morning in God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. If you look there, please. The Bible says here, "For as touching," or speaking about, "the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago." And here's what I want to focus on or concentrate on this morning. If you notice the last part of verse 2, "And your zeal hath provoked very many." Amen. Your zeal hath provoked very many. We're going to look this morning at being a fanatic fan or a fair weather fan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we do need you every hour, Lord, as the song was sung. And Father, I need your help right now to bring the message, although I've prepared. Lord, if your spirit isn't behind what I have to say this morning, it's of no value. So Father, help me to bring the message. Lord, bind all the forces of evil that would hinder the word being preached or received. And Lord, we pray that you're in the midst of us this morning. Father, help us to be fanatic fans for you, not fair weather fans. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Someone has defined a football game as 75,000 people sitting in a stadium, although they desperately need exercise, watching 22 people on the field desperately needing rest. That's what a football game is. Football, if you didn't know this, by the way, National Football League professional football is ranked the number one popular sport in America. It is the most attended sport, the most marketed sport, the most watched sport, and has the most revenue, closely followed by NASCAR, Brother Ed, just to let you know. But football's number one. It's the most watched sport. One preacher said this. He said, "As a minister, I'm available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Naturally, that includes the Sunday afternoon of the Super Bowl. All I ask is that the call contain some small element of crisis, such as an all-out nuclear attack or epidemic of leprosy. Other than that, anything of lesser consequences can wait." So that guy is a real fan of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, of course, is the final game of the NFL season, and most people watch it for the advertisement. It's the most watched sporting event in the world is the Super Bowl. But here's the thing. It's funny that it's all right to be a sports fanatic, but if you are a fanatic for the Lord, or if you're a fanatic Christian, well, then that's not so great. In our society today, if you're a religious fanatic, that means that you're ignorant. You're ignorant, you're intolerant. That's a big thing today is, boy, you got to be tolerant of all other faiths. If you're a Christian fanatic now, you're intolerant, you're ignorant, you're unloving. You just don't love people. If you are a Christian fanatic, you must not love people. And you're just a little bit flaky. If you're a religious fanatic, you know, people will say, well, there's something about them. They're just a little flaky. Now, if you notice what our media does, is our media will take a guy like Sean was talking about a while ago, burning the Quran, and they'll take a gentleman like that, and they'll try to lump us all into looking at a fellow like that. Now, I don't know where you stand on that, but I'll give you my opinion since I'm the one that's up here preaching. I don't think that's productive. Burning the Quran, that you don't see anywhere in the New Testament Jesus doing that or his disciples. To me, it would be much better served to put that energy towards sharing the truth. Amen. With the people over in the Middle East. Amen. If we burn the Quran, that's not going to do anything but steal their resolve. We need to share the love of Jesus Christ. In fact, they say that there's a revival going on right now in the Middle East, that there are many Muslims who are being brought to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's going to happen because of the Word of God. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Not a bonfire of Korans. That's not going to set anybody free. But here's the thing. You'll look at that, and so the media will say, well, everybody must be crazy like that. On the other hand, you take this imam that's been on the news lately wanting to build the mosque there on Ground Zero. He's just as flaky. That's right. But they'll jump right on board with that guy and say, well, we've got to be tolerant now, and we've got to have that. Well, I think that's irresponsible. You know, just because someone has a right to do something, we have the right to burn a Quran. The person has a legal right, I suppose, to build a mosque on ground zero. But just because you have a right doesn't mean it's prudent. Amen?
That's right.
It's not a wise thing. Here's what I would say. If they will allow us to put a Christian church and build it there in Mecca, yeah, I say go ahead and put a mosque there at ground zero then. Amen? Yeah. They want religious tolerance here in the United States, but intolerant over in the Middle East. So if you want to hear, let's do it over there. Let's share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we all know that that's not going to happen. But here's the thing. If you're a fanatic, boy, if you preach out about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then you're just ignorant and you're intolerant today. I think it's okay to be a fanatic Christian, don't you? I think it's fine and dandy, too. I like sports. I'll be watching today. I'm a Bears fan. I happen to have a 49ers jersey on here. But I like the Bears. I'm a Bears fan. I'm going to watch them. There's nothing wrong with following the Bears or the Cardinals or even the Cubs, Brother Sean.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with it. But if we can be fanatical about our sports teams, can't we be fanatical about the Lord? Amen. And we ought to be fanatic when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. You and I will either be a fanatic fan or we'll be a fair weather fan. You know the difference, don't you? A fanatic fan knows all the stats. They know all the starters for the team, and they have some of the gear. A fair weather fan, however, they just kind of cheer for the team when everything's going good. You know, as long as the team's winning, we call them bandwagon fans, right? They just jump on. They're fair weather fans. They may not know the quarterback from the wide receiver, but they're a fair weather fan when the team's going good. And the idea of the message this morning is for every one of us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're a fanatic fan. We don't need fair weather fans at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, amen? We need fanatic fans who are sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with our community. Well, I want to share with you this morning three qualities of a fanatic fan. And here we go. Number one, a fanatic fan is contagious. A fanatic fan is contagious. Look there, if you would, please, at verse 2 that we just read this morning. Look at the last of that verse. Paul says, your zeal. By the way, that's a word we don't use now. We don't go up and say someone has a lot of zeal. We say they have passion. They have enthusiasm. He says, your passion hath provoked. That means you stirred up very many with your passion. Listen, our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to stir people up. Did you know people will want what we have at Mount Vernon Baptist Temple if we're passionate out in the world? See, not enough of us are, and I'll lump myself in there too. Too many times we jump on and we want to talk about our sports teams, but yet we're not passionate enough about what the Lord's done in our lives. We ought to be passionate about it, and it will be contagious. It's kind of like the rash that people were having? Staph infection, had a name to it. I forget what it was. But MRSA, that's it, MRSA. And boy, it's contagious, highly contagious. Don't you think that we can be highly contagious with our excitement for the Lord? That's what a fanatic fan is. We're passionate. I grew up a Boston Celtics fan in basketball. And the reason I grew up a Celtics fan was my dad was a Celtics fan. When we grew up, basketball was only on TV on Sunday afternoons. You know, now you have it on all week long. But on Sunday afternoons, you had three teams, Bruce, that were usually playing. Either the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, or the Los Angeles Lakers. They were always playing, and usually one of those three, at least one of them, maybe two, were in the NBA Finals at the end of the whole season. But we would go home from church on Sunday, and we would watch the Celtics play Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish and some of those old greats. And I started liking the Celtics because Dad was a Celtics fan. Guess who my boys like? My boys like the Boston Celtics. They could even tell you who some of the players are. Why? Because Dad likes watching the Celtics, man. We used to get a laundry basket out. I don't know if anybody else used to do this at home. We get a laundry basket and make basketballs out of socks. We'd get the socks all wound up. Did you ever do that, Bruce? And man, we'd play basketball while the Celtics were on. We were Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. No, we weren't him. We didn't like the Lakers. Bird and Parrish and these guys. And we would compete with each other in the living room. I couldn't tell you how many dining room tables were broken in the Reynolds home because of playing basketball. Amen? My brother Jody holds the record for scars on his head from playing basketball in the living room at home. He broke a marble top table one time Broke it right in two and kept on playing, man. Just kept, no, he quit. He took a little break after that. But, man, we would play. We would compete, man. We were Celtics fans. Don't you think we can share that same kind of excitement with our kids? Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And here's what you do with these words. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." That means you just stick with it. Diligently means you just do it day after day after day. Now listen to the rest. "And shalt talk of them." Don't just talk of the Celtics. Don't just talk of the Cardinals. Talk about the things of God. "Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That means that we are to be just as passionate. And listen, if we as parents and grandparents are passionate about the Lord, it's going to carry on to our kids. It's contagious. If our kids see our excitement for the Lord and instead of, "I got to go to church, boy, I'd sure like to be home mowing the yard or doing something else." But no, instead, kids, it's time to go to church. Let's go. We're going to go hear the Word of God. We're going to Sunday school. Listen, our kids will catch that. It's contagious. We ought to be excited about things of God. This is on the screen. I read this quote. "If one-tenth of us believe what we say is true about Christ, we'll be 10 times as excited about it as we are." See, we say we believe, but are we as excited as we should be? I believe we need to be fanatical when it comes to our following the Lord Jesus Christ. I was excited about this. Dad went to the Mount Vernon prayer breakfast at the Holiday Inn Friday morning. Anybody else go to that? Dad went with Brother Dave, and I think there were 500 people there. And the guest speaker was Brother Tim Lee. And Brother Tim's going to be with us the first Sunday in December. But Dad was telling me that he preached a bold message at the prayer breakfast and gave an invitation. He may not be asked back, but he took advantage of it while he was there. You know what happened? 15 people in Mount Vernon were saved at that prayer breakfast. Man, that's fantastic. Those are people who are probably influential people here in Mount Vernon. Listen, God's still in the saving business, amen? That ought to excite us. I was excited to hear that Dad won the young lady to the Lord that worked at Denny's. He was talking about visiting her. He talked about that Wednesday night. Went and saw her, and so easily, she was ready. She accepted the Lord. Listen, that kind of stuff's exciting, and that ought to be contagious. That ought to be the stuff we're excited about when we talk about the Lord. So, a fanatic fan is contagious. Man, when they get around other people, they want to talk about the Lord. They want to talk about what the Lord's doing in their life and at their church. Here's another one. A fanatic fan is committed. A fanatic fan is committed. Brother Sean, I'll tell you this. Dad and I were talking the other night, and we think a study needs to be done on Cubs fans. Because how they can be so committed year after year after year to root for those Cubbies, and it's been, what, 100 plus years since they've won a World Series? They may need to be committed. I don't know if they are committed. But anyhow, you got to say, man, they're committed. Those Cub fans are committed. Always they're ready for next year. So they're committed. But listen, we ought to be just as committed. Sad to say, there are too many uncommitted. Now listen, there's too many uncommitted Christians today. We need to be committed. Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Galatians chapter 4. You're in 2 Corinthians. It's just the next book. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. We need to be committed to God's Word. We need to be committed to God's service. Listen, we ought to be doing all we can to stay committed. Stay in there. Hang in there. Don't be a fair weather fan. Be a committed fan. Look at Galatians 4, verse 18. The Bible says, "But it is good to be zealously affected." Remember that word zeal means passion, enthusiasm. "To be zealously affected when you feel like it." Does your Bible say that? What does it say? "Zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." Listen, we need to be committed. Does that mean that we're always going to be happy and satisfied? Probably not. That's our goal. But listen, that means that we hang in there and we keep serving God, whether people hurt our feelings, whether we feel like it or not, we stay committed. We're zealously affected always. This week, I had three different people come in to see me Wednesday. About some problems they were having at a church, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it's odd how people can be in church. It amazes you. The plan was for, and some of these people used to come to church here. I'll tell you that. Some used to come to church here, and they're going to this other church, and I hate for them to have that problem, but I'm glad they're not here causing problems. But anyhow, they were going to bring the pastor up for a vote to get rid of him. And you know why they want to get rid of him? Because he didn't look good in the pulpit. Now, Dad, you and I'd be in trouble anyway. But the complaint was that he didn't dress nice enough and had bad breath. And so they didn't like that and want to get rid of him. Now, the Christian response to that should be, well, let me go get you a suit. Here, let me take you down to Penny's and get you a suit, man. Get you some shoes. And, you know, if you maybe need to make a trip to the dentist, I'll help pay the bill for it. That's what a Christian does. But listen, trying to run a pastor down because he just doesn't look good. And anyhow, here's what I said to one of the men I talked to. I said, you tell your pastor, you hang in there. You keep your eyes on the Lord and your eyes on him. And also told him this, 99.9% of the people are for you. But you'll have that little small percentage that evidently is there right now wanting to discourage you. You hang in there anyway. You be committed because that's where God's called you to be. We're to be committed. And that pastor thanked me for his support. I don't even know the guy that well. I just didn't like the fact, you know, here they are trying to serve God and knock him down for the way he looks. Listen, that's wrong. And that pastor, apparently, he's committed. He's in the pulpit today. He's committed. We all need to be committed Christians. I come across the prayer of a fair weather Christian. Here's the prayer of a fair weather Christian. I love thy church, O God. Her walls before me stand. But please excuse my absence, Lord. This bed is simply grand. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. But Lord, don't ask for cash from me. The cost is just too high. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Yes, though I seldom pray or pay, I still insist I am. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No others, Lord, should do their part, but please don't count on me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. O Lord, my hymns of praise I bring because it doesn't cost to sing. That's the prayer of a fair weather Christian. I'm a follower, Lord, but don't ask me to follow too closely. Don't ask me to be too committed. I want to follow you, but Lord, don't ask me to do too much now. I just want to kind of be a fair weather fan. Listen, we need fanatic fans for the Lord. Amen. And if we're going to move forward in our spiritual life as a church, we need fanatic fans following the Lord. Well, a fanatic fan is contagious. Other people will catch it. It's contagious. A fanatic fan is committed. A fanatic fan is in it to win it. Amen. They're committed to the cause. And here's the last one. A fanatic fan is crazy. You ever think about that? A fanatic fan is crazy. How many of you have heard of the phrase, he's ate up? Well, he's ate up. Miss Connie, I've heard you say that. So, so I know that you know that. He's ate up. She's ate up. Did you know we ought to be ate up when it comes to the Lord? Listen to this verse, Psalms chapter 69 and verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. For the zeal, zeal means passion, enthusiasm, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. It's eaten me up. I'm ate up with it. Listen, that means that maybe we're just a little bit crazy for Christ. Amen. You know, it's all right to be a crazy Christian. We were talking Wednesday night. We had a leadership meeting here, and Brother Paulinne came up in our conversation. And let me tell you, Paulinne is a crazy Christian. The guy's crazy. He has done a lot, and Paul's the quietest guy and wouldn't want me even telling you this from up here, but he's done a lot of stuff around his church. He shows up here all the time while school's going on and doing something, fixing something. And then Dad was saying how much he appreciated Paul. And I said, I drove by Sister Bernadine's house, and he was out there one morning cleaning out the tile underneath the driveway or something. And then Sean said, yeah, I saw him when I was out doing the water meter. He was fixing somebody's roof. Listen, that's being crazy for the Lord. Did you know we ought to be crazy like that? The Bible talks about being zealous of good works. I can prove that to you in the book of Titus. Go there, please. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. It's all right to be a crazy Christian. It's all right to be a crazy follower for the Lord. In the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it's page 1284 in your Schofield Bibles. Here's what it says. Speaking of, well, let's start in verse 13. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Amen. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a what? A peculiar people. We might say a crazy people, kind of strange people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's that word zeal again. Zeal involves passionate. Being passionate, zealous of good works, means that the world ought to look at us and say, hey, there's something crazy about them. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but man, there's something different about them down there. They're just kind of crazy when it comes to this thing of serving God and serving other people. Many of you know Donna Jones. I have to tell you this story. Last night, of course, it was my birthday, and Melissa and I were going to go to the movies. And Donna and Jimmy wanted to take us out to dinner, and I said, well, we kind of wanted to do something just by ourselves and not have the boys with us. So she said, let me keep the boys for you. And so she kept the boys, and she met us at the McDonald's over by the interstate. And Donna also, she works at the bank and also works at Cracker Barrel. Well, we went to the movies, and we come back, and she had taken them over to Cracker Barrel. And I walked in there to get the boys, and here on the counter, she had the awfulest mess of stuff loaded up on that counter for the boys. You know, stuff that we wouldn't get them. She had piled up candy and all this stuff and let them get things. And here, boys, go ahead and get stuff. And I come in, I said, Donna, what are you doing? Oh, I just wanted to buy some stuff for him. And I said, now, wait a minute. When you have a babysitter, usually you pay the babysitter. The babysitter doesn't do things for you. She bought them candy. And then she said, oh, there's a sack over here that has dinner for you guys. She had bought dinner for Melissa and I also and set it in a sack over here. She must have spent over $100 on us and them boys last night. And here we'd asked her to babysit for us. And here's what I said. I said, Donna, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're crazy. We love you. We appreciate you. But you're crazy. But you know what? She's got it right. She walked away from there and she was just so happy and walks out to her car. She was zealous of good works. I would say she's a fanatic. And many of you, I could say the same thing about. Here's the whole point. A fanatic fan is contagious. It's going to spread to other people. A fanatic fan is committed. A fanatic fan doesn't just be there for the team when everything's going good. A fanatic fan's committed. And then a fanatic fan is crazy. They're zealous of good works. Listen, you know what will pack our church out? You know what will cause people to want to have what you have? It's when you get crazy and passionate about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not about anything else. We can drum up. We're having NFL Sunday, and that's fun. But I don't care what kind of program or anything else we have, unless we're passionate about following Christ and passionate about what's going on, unless we're passionate, people really aren't going to be too, they're not going to pay too much attention. But man, they're going to want what you have when you're passionate about it. When you leave here on Sundays, talk about it. Say, man, we had a good service. Man, you should have seen the young people. We had souls saved. Brother Sean's doing a good work at Comp Services. Brother Paul, Sister Debbie's doing good work at the jail. You ought to know what's going on down there. We ought to be passionate, fanatic fans. I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to close. It's called Lord Make Us Fans. It goes like this. Every Sunday is a Super Bowl for saints. As they stand up to battle Satan with all the zeal of Christ and the first century church. If we're ever going to defeat the devil, we've got to pray, Lord, make me a fan. Fans arrive early. They seldom wander in during the third inning or the second quarter. In church, they seem to straggle in and straggle out. Lord, give us fans. Fans don't care when they get home. Fans love extra innings and sudden death overtimes. They're not pew warmers worried about pot roast and beating the Baptist to bonanza. Lord, bring on the fans.